Hello, hello, hello. I am Adrienne Mayfield. Just in case you landed here and have no idea who I am, I usually do 60 seconds of announcements just to give people time to discover that I'm here. If you're already on, please share with others. This is going to be a quick topic, but a hot topic. This is my website, just in case you need to find any of the materials or resources that I tell you about. I do have four books. One, Connecting with the Burning Bush, tells you how to use the painful experiences of your life to launch your purpose. Who's Following You, which teaches you about legacy and building legacy, leaving your mark on the earth. I'm Tired of This Church, which teaches you how to build a genuine, authentic relationship with God. And last year, I released a devotional for women called You're Too Full to Be Empty, Lessons for Women Who Are All Tapped Out. I have a podcast, which is Beauty for Ashes. It's available on all podcast platforms. And if you go to my website, you'll see my books there. You'll see courses. I have a triage series. There are courses on healing from family dysfunction, healing from the trauma of divorce, healing from grief, healing from an orphan heart, and healing from church hurt. So those are all there on my website at adriennemayfield.com. If you want to text me, you can text me at the number there at the on the screen, 770-746-8453. That is my text number. It comes to my phone and it's me. So if you want to text me any of your questions, or if you want to ask me about booking me to come to an event, or if you want to tell me about some feedback from one of the resources that you've used, that's how you reach me. That's the number. So I'm going to remove now the website because it's about 60 seconds in now, and we're going to jump into the content. So we have been having a lot of bickering and back and forth. I'm noticing it more and more in the country, but are not just in the country among the in with people that are in the world, but also in the church. A lot of back and forth over the issue of abortion, over the issue of racism, over the issue of same-sex marriage, over the issue of gender fluidity, all these different things that people are having conversations about, and there's a lot of back and forth. And when the Supreme Court issued their ruling concerning abortion, there started to be an increased amount of people coming forth with this spirit of rebellion, just, angry and upset over it. Today, I saw that there were some people who were supposedly arrested. Some congressmen, I believe, were arrested, they said, but then they showed videos of some of them who were holding their hands behind their back as if they were handcuffed. But then AOC specifically was like pumping her fist. Well, it's kind of impossible to pump your fist if your hand if you're in handcuffs, right? So there's just a lot of rhetoric, a lot of hatred, a lot of back and forth. People have differing opinions. But in the beginning, people have said that this was a nation that belonged to God, that it was founded on God, as that our forefathers founded on God, is what people love to say about America. But you see more and more people saying they don't believe in God. You see witchcraft and Wiccan and Satanists rising up, and you see the church in a lot of places, in a lot of circumstances, cowering back and being pushed back into the darkness while darkness is trying to win against the light, which it can never do because the Bible tells us that light overcomes darkness. So today I got this letter in the mail. My mailman and even my mail lady and even one of my neighbors who had to pick up my mail for me one time when I was out of country was like, oh my God, I've never seen someone that gets this much mail. And I say, yeah, I know. But a lot of the mail that comes is because I donate a lot of the money that I make to different organizations, different charitable organizations. And so they send me pleas all the time for more money. And sometimes I'm like, just don't send me any letters. I'll just give something when I want to give it, but don't send me a letter every week. But anyway, today I got a letter in the mail and the caption caught my attention because it says, "Does America hate God?" I started thinking about that and I was like, my God, I hope not. Like, I don't hate God. I'm an American. I love God. And so but I started thinking about the nation. I started thinking about the hatred. I started thinking about some of the images that I see on television. And I started to think about the church and how the church needs to rise up and begin to take our rightful place as the ecclesia and to lead the world, to lead the culture rather than being led by it. And so I just wanted to share some of the things, there's a few things that he, some different stories and lawsuits and issues that have come up in recent years And I was shocked. Maybe some of you will already be familiar with them, but I had no idea that these things happened here in America. And so I wanted to share those with you. The first is in 2004, aboard the USS Anzio, it says Lieutenant Gordon Kligenschmidt, who was a Navy chaplain, was preaching at a Catholic sailor's funeral, and he was reprimanded and sent ashore for uttering the name Jesus. In 2005, at Camp Liberty near Baghdad, Iraq, it says a brigade official ordered Army Chaplain Captain John Sternsback to modify his prayers at the funeral of a slain sergeant to minimize the name of Jesus. In Iowa in 2006, it says the Americans United for Separation of Church and State won a lawsuit when a federal judge ordered a Bible-based prison program out of the Newton Correction Facility and ordered the Bible Group to repay the state of Iowa $1.53 million. So not only did they order the Bible-based group out of the prison, but made them repay over $1.5 million. Omaha, Nebraska, 2007. State Senator Ernie Chambers sued God in Douglas County Court, alleging that God had caused calamitous catastrophes resulting in the widespread death, destruction, and terror of millions of Earth's inhabitants, including innocent babies, infants, children, aged and infirm, without mercy or distinction. Wow. Wisconsin, 2008. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, promoting itself as America's largest atheist group, puts up billboards urging people to imagine no religion. The group vowed to place these billboards all over the nation to confront people of faith. 2009, President Barack Obama dropped the longstanding practice of holding a public event at the White House to commemorate the National Day of Prayer. 2010, U.S. Air Force Academy. A simple wooden cross was placed at the Wiccan Chapel, a circle of rocks in the woods near the service academy used by witches and warlocks for their Black Sabbath Satan worship. The superintendent, Lieutenant General Michael Gould, defended the witches and issued a statement declaring, "I consider this no different than someone writing graffiti on the cadet chapel, which is a Christian place of worship." 2011. This is the one that really got me. I did not know this. Walter Reed Army Medical Center, the hospital that treats thousands of the most severely wounded soldiers from wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, posted a new rule. No religious items, for example, Bibles, reading materials, and or facts are allowed to be given away or used during a visit. 2011. No religious items. So that means if you were going to visit one of these soldiers, you could not take any Bibles or reading materials or any facts could be exchanged or given during the visit. This is here in America, guys. 2012, Times Square, New York City, a group called American Atheists puts up a billboard at Christmas time proclaiming, "Keep the Mary, dump the myth." On the billboard next to Mary is Santa Claus, above myth was a picture of a Jesus statue. 2013, on the air on MSNBC, TV host Lawrence O'Donnell demanded that President Obama get rid of the Bible when he was sworn in as president, saying it's filled with things that no one in the United States of America believes. 2014, Tallahassee, Florida. For Christmas, the Satanic Temple built a display of a fallen angel plummeting into a pit of fire with the sarcastic caption, "Happy Holidays." It was placed right next to a nativity scene in the state. 2015, shortly after Islamic State terrorists burn a man alive on worldwide TV, President Obama goes to the National Prayer Breakfast to tell the assembled faithful that it's the same as when the Christians were killed in the Crusades. 2020, Washington, D.C. Delegate AJ Durrani at the Democratic National Convention leaves out under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. I think most of us are probably familiar with that one. I know I am in 2020. So these are things that are hard. It's hard to believe that these things happen right here in the United States of America, a place where we pride ourselves on diversity. We pride ourselves on tolerance. We pride ourselves on allowing everyone to have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, to kind of believe what they're free to believe. But in the midst of doing that, Christianity and people of faith, it appears from all of these different instances that have happened, are being pushed to the back. So what do we do? What should we do? Well, I believe that we look to the Word of God to say, what does God say about these issues? What does God say about a nation and about a nation's reliance or faith in Him? Do we need to really believe in God? Does America hate God? And what happens if a nation turns its back on God? So I have about six or seven scriptures. I want to share those with you, and then I'm going to be out of your way. All right. The first one is Proverbs 29:2. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. So the Bible's telling us right there, if someone who is righteous and just and moral and good and who's relying on God is in power, then it's a good time for everybody. But when a wicked person gets in power, the people mourn. And we can see that in countries all over the world. When wicked people get in office, the people are in trouble because they make legislation, they make rules that are hard and pressing, like Pharaoh did the children of Israel in Exodus. All right, Psalms 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. What is this telling us? That only the nation who make God their Lord, who rely on him, who lean on him and make him the ruler and leader of all the decisions and all that goes on in that nation, only those nations will be blessed. Matthew 5:10-11. This is Jesus speaking. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, why is Jesus telling us this? Because he's reminding us that dark days are coming. And one of the biggest things that I see with believers is this desire to fit in, this desire to be the same, this desire to not be alienated, this desire to not be left out. If people don't get invited to a party, or somebody unfriends them or doesn't accept their friend request, or they act like they don't see them if they're out somewhere, people turn into a nervous wreck like they're about to lose their mind. Guys, we have to be stronger and wiser and tougher than that, because Jesus is telling us here that there are some times of persecution. There's some times of separation. The wheat and tares can only grow. They're only going to grow together for so long. Eventually, you'll begin to see the distinction. The wheat and tares will no longer, as they grow, then they stand out and you know which is which. And the Bible tells us that although they grow together, there'll come a time where the Father will pluck out all the tares and they'll be burned. Right. And so it's important that you go ahead and embrace the idea. If you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, then you have to know that you're going to go through some persecution. We're already here, from the issues over same-sex issues to abortion to just all kinds of issues that where people kind of like, well, we don't believe in God, leave God, prayer in schools, all those different things. It's drawing a dividing line between who really belongs to God and who doesn't, who really believes the Bible and who doesn't, who says they're a Christian but who actually practices it. And I know there's a very popular influencer that always says everyone's a Christian until it gets biblical. So everybody says, I'm a Christian. People will get up on a stage at an award show and thank God for making a song called Big Booty. Well, I'm pretty sure God didn't give you the inspiration to make that song. And so a lot of people who say they're Christians are not really Christians when it comes to accepting Jesus, making a proclamation of faith, and living under the lordship and control of Jesus Christ. And how do we know the difference? Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruit. All right. Isaiah 60:12. We got about 3 or 4 more. 60:12. Says, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee will perish, Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Let me read that one again. Isaiah 60:12 says, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee will perish. Yea, these nations shall be utterly wasted. Now that's sobering, guys. It says if we don't serve God, that the nation will be utterly wasted. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now I'm seeing this a lot. I know I keep saying that, but I'm seeing it a lot where people are like espousing these carnalist beliefs. They're promoting these things that the Bible doesn't say. A lot of Christians sometimes get behind them and support them, and they'll say that something that's clearly forbidden in scripture is okay. And then people who say, well, that's not what the Bible says, that's not what the Bible teaches, those people will be almost crucified or canceled by culture. Well, the Bible says woe means this is a big deal. You're in trouble. It's terrible. There's punishment. There's judgment coming for you if you call evil good and good evil, if you call dark light and light darkness. All right. Psalm 22:28 says, for the kingdom is the Lord's and he rules over all the nations. I always find it interesting when people talk about separation of church and state and God, leave God out of this, and we don't want to hear from God, and God doesn't have anything to do with this. And I just always think about how merciful and loving God is to hear us rebelling against him, to hear us speaking against him, to hear us saying that he doesn't exist and elevating science above God. And he still is long-suffering. He still allows you to wake up in the morning and give you oxygen. I mean, if I was God and people were tripping on me and saying some of the things that people say about God, I don't know, I might let the oxygen draw back a little bit and let you have to and then give it back to you so you can remember who's God. But thank God he's not like that, right? He's not like us. And so he's so merciful. He's long-suffering, the Bible says. So he's hoping, he's praying and believing. Well, not praying and believing like God doesn't know, but you know what I'm saying? Like his hope is that none would perish. His desire is that none would perish. And so he's long suffering, giving us time to turn to him, giving us the opportunity to confess of our sins and repent and accept Jesus, because he doesn't want us to perish, because he sent his son and allowed him to go through all that Jesus went through his death, so that we wouldn't have to experience that and we can be reconciled back to him. And so that would be wasted. If you turn your back on Jesus and don't accept him, then that gift, that free gift that Jesus is offering you, you will miss out on. All right. 2 Timothy 3:1-10. And this is a reminder of where we are now. It says in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. Yes. Lovers of money, for sure. Look at the gas prices. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yes, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That means pretending they belong to God, saying they're a Christian, but not really having the power and the evidence and the fruit that support that contention. From such people, turn away. Means have nothing to do with them. For this sort of people are those who creep into households, make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jonas and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist the truth. And those were the men that back when Moses was coming in to do the different things with the rod, that they tried to come in and mimic the magicians who tried to mimic the same things that Moses was doing. It says, men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as others also was. This is another warning. This is where we are. Men's lovers themselves, lovers of money, haters of things good, disobedient. You heard the list. You can see those things in the news. You can see them in your neighborhood. You might can see them in your own household. But it's God says they will progress no further. There's a day of judgment, a day of reckoning that's coming. So what do we do, guys? We've heard what God has said about the blessing of the nation. We've heard about what God says about being light and darkness and calling evil good and good evil. And we see all of this stuff going on around us, people being shot at doctor's office, people being shot at grocery stores, people being shot at schools. What do we do? Well, one of the things that we can do is go back to a very popular scripture, which is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that scripture says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, pray, humble themselves, pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. That means you got to stop doing the things that you shouldn't be doing. Then when we hear from heaven, he will forgive our sins and heal our land. So we have to humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. And then it says that we'll hear from heaven and he will forgive, he'll forgive our sins and heal our land. And then for the closing scripture, I want to do Genesis 12:2. This was a promise that was made to Abraham. It says, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So the key to success, the key to long life, the key to blessing and prosperity and all things good is to surrender our life, our families, our nation to God, the one true God, Yahweh, Jehovah God. He is the one true God. And submitting our nation, our lives, our persons, our families to him is the only way to live an abundant life and be blessed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. Father, we pray that you will continue to strengthen us. We know that your word says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Give us your boldness, that when you will walk in righteousness and holiness, that we will not shrink back, that we will not be afraid, but that we will be courageous to speak the truth in love. I pray for everyone who is watching now, even those who will watch on the replay. I pray that their hearts, will be pierced with what you have revealed to us tonight, that any areas of lukewarmness, we don't want to be spewed out of your mouth. So any areas of lukewarmness, any areas where we're trying to ride the fence, any areas in our lives where we're trying to fit in and not do what you called us to do, we pray that you now will bring us to a place of repentance, that we'll repent and turn and surrender our lives to you. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to give us abundant life. We thank you that your blood is spilled on the mercy seat on our behalf. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you live inside of us to train us, to teach us, to testify of Jesus, and to convict us of sin. So, Father, we submit to your lordship. We submit to your authority. We thank you that your word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We decree and declare that you, Yahweh, you, Jehovah, are the Lord, the God of America. And so we ask you that you will begin to strengthen the church, that we'll have the power, the courage, the wisdom, and the desire to follow you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Thanks so much for watching. Again, if you want to text me, this is my text number, 770-746-8453. And my website, of course, is my name, AdrienneMayfield.com. If you're watching from YouTube, please subscribe and share with others. God bless you and have a good night.